During my time in seminary, we were all assigned house jobs, and it was everything from doing the linens, changing the altar cloths depending on the season and flowers, to being an MC, to technology stuff, or helping with the serving at lunch. And in my first year of seminary, before we were supposed to get house jobs, they found out I had some skills with technology. Now, I know many of you are better than me at that, but I was better than some in the seminary, so I got a house job early. And I remember one year I was sitting in my room at night working on some homework when an email came in. And I looked at it, and it looked like it was from our IT department. And I opened it, and it said, your space is running out. Please log in and clear out your stuff. And it looked pretty legit. But it didn't seem quite right to me, especially since it was 8 o'clock at night, and I knew that our IT department wasn't working at that time. So I opened it up and looked a little more closely, and sure enough, it did not come from our IT department, but from somewhere in, let's say, somewhere in Eastern Europe. And so I tried to call the faculty to let them know, hey, this got through our spam filter, tell people not to click on this link. Couldn't reach any of them. Both vice rectors, the rector of the seminary, none of them were available. So I sent out a house-wide email to everybody and say, hey, this isn't actually from our IT department. Do not click on the link. If you did click on the link, do not enter your password. If you entered your password, change it immediately. Within 5 seconds of sending that email, I got a phone call from one of the faculty members. Dennis, how do I change my password? As soon as I got off the phone with him, I got another phone call from my spiritual director. Yeah, can you just come up here? We laugh at these things because it's so commonplace, and it happens every day that we get these spam emails. You've won $1,000, or something's wrong with your account, click here to log in, and we know we should be on the lookout for them, and yet, we don't. People still get scammed by this all the time. People still make mistakes and click on something they shouldn't have. And in our gospel today, we are told of the temptation of Jesus. And I think it's worth looking a little more closely at what is temptation. Because we can all say, oh, I know what evil is and I should push it away. But just like those scammers who send out those emails, Satan is subtle. He makes it look like something good all the time. And we take it for granted and we click the link far more often than we should. What is Satan tempting Jesus with? You're hungry, your father should take care of you, eat some bread. God has promised to take care of you, be reckless, throw yourself off the temple. You're the Son of God, I'll give you the whole world. In and of themselves, they're seemingly good things. You're hungry, eat. God's promised something, make him make good on it. You are the Son of God, here's the world, take it. But there's always that twist that just makes it a little off. As my spiritual director in seminary liked to say, the devil doesn't have to divert us by big bends. He just twists the truth a little bit. And in the season of Lent, we are called to quiet, to prayer, to almsgiving, and to fasting. These are interior actions to help us meditate on our need for God and on our life as Christians. Have I fully repented and believed in the gospel? Or has the devil led me just a little bit astray? And where does that lead me? To fight temptation means that we need to take time to reflect, to examine our motivations as well as what we're doing, to pray, and to take a step back. If Jesus had acted out of just pure emotion or necessity or this sounds like a good thing, he could easily have given in to those temptations. I'm hungry, and he's saying I can eat. That's good. A hungry person should eat. I'm the Son of God. The whole world should be mine anyway. Why shouldn't I give in to this? We do this all the time. This person needs correcting, so I'm going to correct them. But how do it? Do we preach the gospel with charity and love and mercy? Or are we cruel in our correction of others, of the ignorant, and in our efforts to preach the gospel? That little twist about how we do it is a temptation the devil gives us because he doesn't need to throw us off track entirely. He just needs to get a little bit in there, and then he can keep working. If you haven't read the book, The Screwtape Letters, although it is C.S. Lewis and not a Catholic and one of Father Aaron's misguided loves, The Screwtape Letters are a wonderful example of this. That show how even going to church, being annoyed with the person with a child or a squeaky kneeler or whatever else, are the tiny ways the devil used to get at us. And if we don't take time to think about it, if we don't take time to look at the address that email came from, if we just take things at face value, we will fall. Brothers and sisters, we often are faced by two different misconceptions of temptation. One is, I'll recognize it when I see it, and I don't have to worry about it. That's a lie. We need to always be on guard, thinking about where the devil is trying to get at us, and where we might seemingly, in good faith, be going wrong. And the second temptation is to consider it sin. We often have emotions of frustration or anger. People are often tempted to do something they know they should not do. But do we give in to it? It is an act of the will that is sin, and an act of the will to follow the Lord. Just because we have been tempted does not mean we have sinned, or that God does not love us, or that we have done something wrong. Jesus himself, the Son of God who was sinless, was tempted in the gospel today. But he chose to say no. The other side of things is that often when we draw closer to the Lord, the devil tries to tempt us more, to draw us away from him, because he knows how dangerous it is when we get close to the Lord. We should be on guard for temptation always, but we should not despair when we face it. We must face it courageously and boldly, choosing to say no, knowing that the devil will work on our emotions, but we are made in the image and likeness of God with the ability to reason. And so, for God's sake, use it. Think about what you are doing, how you are doing it, and how those emotions play on you. Meditate upon the Word of God and measure your actions by that. Do not let the devil have too much control over you, either through ignoring his subtle deceptions or making yourself feel guilty because he's trying to get at you. Temptation is all around us. It will not go away, and even Jesus faced it. But can we, like Jesus, recognize it for what it is? And can we have the courage and strength to say no? This Lent, make room to be able to reflect, to pray about your actions, to not jump on things out of instinct, but to draw close to the Lord, hear his voice, and measure all that we do by it, knowing that as long as we choose to stay close to him, as long as we choose to say no to those temptations, we are drawing closer to the Lord this Lent. We are not giving the devil his due. Acknowledge his cunning. Defeat it with love, with charity, and with prayer during this Lenten season, so that we may be ready to receive the eternal life that Christ gives us. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the road is straight and narrow. Don't let the devil twist it, even the littlest bit, this Lent.